John chapter 6, verse 60. Lord, we're thankful for the truth that's revealed in your word, even the hard truth. We know many times we just need the hard truth. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, give us understanding to your word this morning. Speak to us, Lord. We're here. We long to hear from you. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus was, I believe, the greatest teacher who has ever lived. He was a master communicator. The Gospels repeatedly tell us that he delighted crowds. People loved to hear him teach. He astonished the crowds. He was so different than all of the religious teachers in his day and in any day, including our day, I would add. But please understand this morning that all of his teachings were not easy. Jesus would oftentimes speak very difficult words to people. Jesus didn't teach just to give people warm fuzzies. He didn't teach just to tell people what they wanted to hear. In fact, the way I read it, there are times where he intentionally seems to offend people. And I think we have one of those occasions here in John chapter 6. Here in John chapter 6, he speaks words that offend an entire crowd, including many of his disciples. Even the 12 apostles were offended. I want you to notice the reaction that people had to his teaching in John chapter 6. It's recorded in verse 60. Look at it. It says, "Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe.' For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, 'Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father.' From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?'" So you see the strong reaction to what Jesus has taught in this chapter. Verse 61 says that they're all complaining, they're grumbling. Verse 60 says that the people are saying, "This is a hard saying." This Greek word "hard" could be translated "tough" or "harsh." It was used by the Greeks to speak of those harsh winter winds. It was also used to speak of a person who was severe, stern. They're saying these are harsh words from a harsh teacher. In verse 60, when they said, "Who can understand it?" It's not that they can't intellectually understand what he's saying. It's that it's distasteful to them. They're saying, "Who can stand here and listen to such offensive doctrine?" In fact, the word "offend" is used in verse 61. Jesus asks them, "Does this offend you?" The famous Greek word "skandalizo," which means to cause to stumble or fall or trip. Jesus had just shared things with them that was completely contrary to their belief system. They tripped over it. They didn't like it. So it says at the end of that passage that we just read, many of his disciples abandoned him. Now remember, Jesus had a large group of people that would follow him that called themselves disciples. But at this point, they're gone. They split the scene. And even the 12 apostles are struggling. Because Jesus asked to them, do you guys also want to go away? So understand, at the beginning of John chapter 6, Jesus is surrounded by this crowd of excited, enthusiastic followers. Yay, Jesus, you're our guy. And by the end of this chapter, they've deserted him. Jesus was not interested in winning any popularity contests. Jesus was interested in telling people the truth and examining motivations, what people are really thinking, and exposing what people are really thinking. So, what happened here? What did Jesus say? What offended them? And better question, why did he offend them? Well, let's remember what has happened here in John chapter 6. At the beginning of this chapter, Jesus has just worked this amazing miracle. He's fed 15 to 20,000 people, remember, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It blows away the crowd. Everyone thinks Jesus is the new Moses. He's like the Moses of the Old Testament who brought manna to all the people in the wilderness day after day. Here comes Moses. Here comes our deliverer. Here comes our Savior, our Messiah. He's going to be the one to deliver us from Rome. He's going to restore to us, our nation, control over the promised land. He's going to restore that land flowing with milk and honey. Jesus is the answer to all of our political power dreams. And we were told early on that they even said that they wanted to force Jesus to be their king. They want an insurrection. They want an organized rebellion, a political revolt against Rome. And Jesus is our guy. That's what they're thinking. And Jesus wanted no part of that. Throughout John chapter 6, Jesus is telling them over and over in different ways, I didn't come to be your political savior. I didn't come to be your materialistic savior. I came to be your spiritual savior. I came to save your souls. I came to give you salvation. I came to give you eternal life. And throughout this chapter, as if you've been tracking with us, they don't get it. They don't understand it. No, be our king. And Jesus keeps saying, I didn't come for that. Finally, Jesus says, I have come as the bread of life from heaven to give you everlasting life. If you eat of this bread, you'll have everlasting life. It's different than the bread Moses gave in the Old Testament. They ate of that bread and they needed it every day and they died. They still don't get it. So eventually Jesus goes on and says, I'm giving my bread. I'm giving my flesh so that others can have everlasting life. The giving of his body and blood. Of course, we know he's speaking about the crucifixion. They still don't get it. And he says to them eventually, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And everyone went, ooh, yuck. What's he talking about? And of course, as we studied a couple weeks ago, he was speaking figuratively. In this whole chapter, he's pointing to the crucifixion and the sacrifice that he will make on the cross and how he needs to be received. They don't get it, and so he shocks them. And this is the part that shocks them. They're offended. What's he talking about? Jesus was intentionally shocking them. And please understand this about Jesus. He doesn't just offend people to offend people. There's a purpose. It's not like God's up in heaven and saying, "Who can I offend today?" He has a purpose with tough words. He has a plan. He was trying to get that crowd to get out of their worldly mindset. He was trying to get that crowd to see beyond the things of this earth. He's trying to say, "I came for a much bigger purpose than saving you politically. I came to save you eternally, spiritually, everlasting life. You need to be changed on the inside. You need to be healthy on the inside." And so he shocked them. He tripped them up over their doctrine, over their thinking, over their motivation. These are tough words. Tough words spoken in love, leading to greater blessings. See, that's why he offends. To get you to think differently. And ultimately to lead you to a greater blessing. He wanted to draw them out into something higher. You know, we don't like to hear things, some things, right? But there are so many things that we need to hear. And the best friends in your life will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Book of Proverbs says, "Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue." Your best friend will tell you the truth. Jesus is like a best friend. I've always loved the story about Mickey Mantle, that great baseball player. He recalls that as a teenager in the minor leagues, he began playing poorly. Discouraged, homesick, and feeling sorry for himself, he tearfully called his father to come and take him home. When the elder Mantle arrived, Mickey expected sympathy and reassurance that, yes, it was time for the father to take the boy out of his cruel environment. Charles Mantle jarred his strapping son by saying, "Okay, if that's all the guts you've got, you might as well come home with me right now and go work in the mines." Snapped awake, Mickey Mantle stuck it out that year and wrote his name in baseball history. We need tough talk. We need somebody who will tell the truth. We need our eyes open to truth. Sometimes we need to be tripped up. Problem is, a lot of times we ignore that. One person said, "The trouble with good advice is that it usually interferes with your plans." We make our plans. We have our thinking. God has his plans. God has his thinking. And his ways are best. And will you let him interrupt your life? Hard sayings. This whole section of scripture made me think of some other hard sayings that Jesus gave during his public ministry. Listen to this statement that Jesus made in front of a crowd on another occasion. It says, "Now great multitudes went with him, And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Talk about offensive. That's one of the most controversial things Jesus ever said. If you want to be my disciple, you must hate your family, your parents, your wife, your children. Is he really telling us to hate our families? No, we're supposed to love our families. We're commanded to love our families. He's using hyperbole. He's saying you are to love me more than anyone else. He's saying that in comparison to how great you love me, your love for everyone else, including the ones you love, should look like hate. Because you love me so much more. Why would Jesus say that? Because he knows that if you allow anyone else or anything else to become first place in your life, you'll be disappointed. When you let Jesus be first place in your life, you are fulfilled, you're safe, you're on track. When he's first place in your life, all your other relationships fall into place. And they become better. So Jesus says, love me supremely for our betterment. Do you remember the story of when the rich young ruler came to see Jesus? And this guy says to Jesus, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, keep the commandments perfectly. And this guy goes, oh yeah, I've done that since youth. I haven't murdered. I haven't stolen anything. I haven't borne false witness or defrauded anyone. I've always honored my father and my mother. And Jesus looked at him and said to him, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. But that man was sad at this word. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus then turned to his disciples and says, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Tough, tough words. And you know why those are so tough? Because it's directed, it's one of the biggest temptations in our lives as human beings, and that is worldly wealth and riches. We can spend our whole life pursuing those kinds of things and not pursuing Christ. And you become dependent upon something that's temporary. We are to always pursue Christ and let him deal with all of the money issues and be Lord over all that. Don't serve money. Serve God with the money that he gives you. Tough words. We need to be shocked out of it. Listen to his words on discipleship. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake we'll find it. You want to be happy? Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Jesus says if you spend your life on your life, you'll lose your life. Jesus says if you spend your life losing your life, you'll find life. Why does he give us such hard commands? Because he tells us the secret in happiness and satisfaction and in purpose in life is losing yourself. Serving others. Serving Christ. I found a little piece called Recipe for a Miserable Life. Would you like to know it? Here it is. Recipe for a Miserable Life. Think about yourself, talk about yourself, use the word I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious, be jealous, be envious, be sensitive to slights. Never forgive a criticism. Trust nobody but yourself. Insist on a consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for the favor shown to them. Never forget a service you may have rendered. Be on the lookout for a good time for yourself. Shirk your duties if you can. Do as little as possible for other people. Love yourself supremely. Be selfish. I guarantee if that's your worldview, you will lead a miserable life. A miserable life. And you'll be miserable to be around. Jesus says if you want to find life, lose it. Give it away. Help others. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus is asked, who are the greatest in the kingdom? And he says, whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Serve. Give away your life. Live to bless others. And it's so backwards, isn't it? The world teaches us the direct opposite. Real meaning, real purpose, real satisfaction, real joy, real life comes in taking these tough words from Christ and appropriating them in your life. Jesus spoke other tough words. Jesus spoke graphically about a place called hell, which is one of the most offensive topics that anyone can think of. Many people are utterly offended by this place called hell. I personally am not offended by hell. I don't plan to go there. Jesus spoke of a place where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, of a place of outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He spoke of a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And it's very distasteful and offensive to many people to think that when they die, they have to give an account of their lives to a God who created it. Well, you may be offended by it, but that's what's going to happen. God created us. There is a God who loves us and sent his Son to die on a cross for our sins and rise again. And we are accountable. We are accountable. There's a price to pay. And this idea that one of these days you'll stand before a God who will judge you is offensive. Listen, you better be ready for it. Jesus said things like this. Blessed are they when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Isn't that funny? Blessed means, oh, how happy. Oh, how happy are you when they revile you and persecute you. Oh, yay. Jesus says, you're blessed. You're happy. You're in good company. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus said, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off Cast it from you, for it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Those are the words from Jesus Christ. And of course, those are not to be taken literally. Jesus is saying graphically, deal with sin. Come to the Savior. Have sins forgiven. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Tough words. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Tough words. Jesus is saying, you got to be perfect just like God is perfect, and we've come to the conclusion that we can't. And so it drives us to this greater truth of our need for a Savior who can wash away our sins and make us perfect through his sacrifice. Tough words. Hard sayings. All intended to wake us up and make us better. Well, everyone was abandoning Jesus. Jesus asked the 12 in verse 67, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we've come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Peter says, you know, these are hard sayings. I can't say that I understand everything about you, Lord, but I'm not leaving. We're staying. Where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. And I would exhort and encourage every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning to have that same attitude and keep that same attitude. You're not going to understand everything that happens in life this side of heaven. There are going to be a lot of hard things that you deal with. There are going to be a lot of things where maybe the Lord might seem to be offend you, but don't leave him. Hold on to him, cling to him. He alone has the words of everlasting life. He'll carry us through. I had a lot of questions these last couple weeks. But you got to trust God with those. You got to trust that our Father knows best. Where are you going to go? You alone, Lord, have everlasting life. You notice that a lot of people in this chapter, they abandon him. Most of the crowd, most of the disciples, and even one of the disciples, Judas, will later betray him, right? But true disciples stay put. Stay put. Don't go back. Keep following Christ and hold on to him. You know, when I was a bachelor and I was in college and I had to cook for myself, things got a little ugly. I used to eat a lot of ramen. And I used to eat the Denty Moore cans of beef stew poured over minute rice. That was a staple for me. And then I got married. And I started to really get some good meals. Why would I ever think of going back to ramen? Why would I ever think of going back to Denty Moore beef stew. Those of you who know Christ know that you found the real deal. You know deep down in your spirit that you have found everlasting life. And even though there are difficult things and hard sayings, you know that he knows best. You can count on him. He's going to walk with you safely through this life and for all of eternity. Why go back to the world? Where else would you go? We need a Savior who will tell us the truth. Years ago on the radio, there was a guy named Ted Malone. He had a radio program. He was the storyteller on the radio and a poet. People loved him. Well, there was a sheep herder out in the backwaters of Idaho who wrote a letter to him and said, "Mr. Malone, would you mind in one of your broadcasts of striking the note A, like A, on the piano so I can hear it?" He said, "I have a violin, but I'm not close to a piano. I can't tune it. I love playing my violin. There's no way that I can tune my instrument, so please play an A." Now, of course, this was a long time ago. Now you can tune your thing with a 99-cent iPhone app, right? But not back then. So Mr. Malone obliged him and played the note A, recorded it, broadcast it over the airwaves. 2 weeks later, he got a letter from the same shepherd saying, "Thank you. Now I'm in tune." And that is exactly what hard words do. They get us back in tune. They get us back on track. Never leave your best friend who will tell you exactly what you need to hear. So, Father, I pray that you would bless this teaching. I pray that you would do the work that you need to do in each one of our hearts. Perhaps some of us who know you have gotten off track lately. Bring us back. Lord, I know there are some today struggling with tough things in life, hard, difficult issues. Lord, I pray for those who are going through that, that they would stay close to you. They wouldn't run from you. They'd run to you. Hold on to you. Hold them up. Lift them up. Lord, I want to pray for those who need to come to you, who need to surrender their lives to you this morning, perhaps if it's for the first time. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, listen up. Everlasting life is available through faith in Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again the third day and is alive. And he will be your Savior. He is the bread from heaven who gives life, everlasting life. You'll look all over the place. You'll look all over planet Earth for that, and you won't find it. You won't find it in riches. You won't find it in your career. You won't find it in a relationship. You find everlasting life through faith in Christ Jesus. And I would love you to have an opportunity right now to receive him. If that's you, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now, just in the quietness of your own heart. Just the littlest cry. Just to cry out to God. And he'll answer. Pray this with me if that's you. Say, Lord, I'm crying out to you right now the best I can. I ask you to be my Savior, to wash away all my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and rising again. Come into my heart. Give me everlasting life. Help me to follow you. Take my life and use it for your glory. Lord, change me into a person who's not self-absorbed, but able to love and reach out to others. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song.